Coming up on Business PM, a bank boss pours doubt on whether interest rates will rise early next year, as many predict. But first, the apartment oversupply in Australia's major East Coast capital cities is firmly on the Reserve Bank's radar, with a number of key officials recently singling out Brisbane as a particular concern. Unit values there are lower than they were a decade ago, and are tipped to fall further as more and more stock comes onto the market. A further 41,000 apartments are tipped to be completed across the city in the next 2 years, and that's putting intense pressure on sale prices. Here's Rebecca Higham.
Lisa Foley and her husband bought their first home in the sought-after inner-city suburb of New Farm in 2011. It was an older-style, two-bedroom, one-bathroom brick unit in a complex of about 40. But the location, on one of the suburb's best, leafiest streets, was hard to beat. When it came time to sell that unit earlier this year, the full force of Brisbane's apartment downturn hit home.
We purchased the unit in 2011, and we purchased it for $432,000.
How much did you advertise it for to sell?
To begin with, it was high 400s, and then we brought that down to offers around the mid 400s, and then we ultimately sold it for $430,000.
She says when they moved into their first home, the idea that it would sit on the market for 3.5 months and sell at a loss just 6 years later was unfathomable.
We knew it was an older style unit. We did invest some money in it before we sold it. So we put some new carpets in, we repainted, we did a little bit of work to the kitchen and bathroom. So we did put money in as well, but we thought we would be safe because it was on Moray Street in New Farm.
It is surprising. New Farm is a really highly desirable suburb. It's inner city. It doesn't have any of the supply concerns that you'd find in, say, a Fortitude Valley or a South Brisbane or West End. But when you look at the overall Brisbane marketplace, we've seen negative growth over the past decade.
That's Tim Lawless, the head of research at the property data group CoreLogic. He says unit values are set to come under further downward pressure over the next 2 years because Brisbane will have added about a fifth more apartments in that time.
It's never been this high. In fact, it's about double the long-term average at the moment. So the next 2 years, we're expecting about 41,000 units to be completed across the broader Brisbane metro region. And that's about a 21% uplift compared with existing stock levels.
So how does that compare to other cities where oversupply concerns have been raised? Tim Lawless again.
Melbourne's actually seeing a larger raw number of units, but that city's well along the densification path, and the uplift in total stock is only about 15%. And then you've got Sydney, where there's about 95,000 units about to come online in the next 2 years. That's only a 12% uplift in stocks.
Unlike Brisbane, in the last few years, those cities have also benefited from stronger population growth and flourishing state economies, which have helped to shore up demand for new high-density residential developments. Lisa Foley says Brisbane's apartment construction boom crippled the sale of her first home.
I'm no expert, but I'd have to think that was the biggest problem for us. And even where I live in Cooperoo now, there are developments everywhere for new units and they're selling for less than we purchased our 80s style New Farm unit for.
Tim Lawless suggests early signs of improving jobs growth in Queensland and the severe housing affordability constraints in Sydney could help resurrect the Brisbane unit market, but he warns it'll take some time.
Typical house value in Sydney is just over $1 million. It's $1.74 million, whereas in Brisbane, it's just over $500,000. So you can understand why people in Sydney will be cashing out of the marketplace and moving towards southeast Queensland.
CoreLogic's head of research, Tim Lawless, ending that report by Rebecca Higham. The Bank of Queensland reported its results today, and thanks to a pickup in business and home loan lending and a drop in bad debts, it recorded a 4% lift in full-year earnings. The bank's chief executive, John Sutton, says he's comfortable with the health of the bank's loan portfolio and said the bank's exposure to the Brisbane apartment market was limited. The bank's so confident in the outlook it's rewarding shareholders with a special dividend of 8 cents a share. CEO John Sutton also poured doubt on the market's belief that the Reserve Bank will be raising rates in the first half of next year. I spoke with him earlier. John Sutton, a pickup in lending helped lift the result. How long do you expect that pickup to continue?
Well, certainly we had a very strong second half across all of our business lines, and most pleasing was Virgin Money, which picked up $700 million since we released the product. Our commercial business, particularly in our niche businesses, had very strong lending growth. Certainly, we're a little bit cautious about home loan growth. I feel that the system, or credit growth for the system, will actually moderate, particularly given the two macroprudential changes that have been in place for some time, will slow growth.
The regulator has really focused on it. ASIC's latest report on lending shows that big banks did pull back on interest only, but that smaller lenders, which BOQ comes into, picked up a little bit in interest-only lending. Why do you think that is?
We are well under the caps that have been mandated by the regulator, and we are seeing a moderation in interest-only lending. I actually think, and we're hearing from brokers, that the demand from the general consumer is slowing on interest-only.
Because ASIC also found that borrowers who use brokers are more likely to go for an interest-only loan. Do you think there needs to be more scrutiny of brokers and their role in this?
We actually validate every single loan that comes in, whether it's through a broker or whether it's through the branch, to ensure that we meet those standards. I actually think that with a lot of the discussion that's in the community about interest-only versus P&I, and what regulators are talking about, is we are seeing customers, particularly at these lower interest rates, actually move to P&I.
If you're validating every loan that comes through, you obviously want to make sure that they're right. Not every bank and institution is doing that. Do you think that that potentially causes risk to financial stability if not every bank is doing that?
I think in terms of financial stability, and I can't comment on what other bank practices are, I only comment on what we do. So we take a conservative approach. But I think all of us in the banking industry, you've seen strong housing growth over the last few years. Mortgage repayments are ahead of schedule for nearly all of the banks. I'm sure for all of the banks, and we're also seeing the low interest rates is also helping as well. So I don't see any systemic risk in the mortgage market. But what you do have to do is to make sure that we think about where consumers are and when the inevitable fact happens that official cash rates may move in the future, that borrowers are able to make those repayments.
We're now at a time where we're expecting the Reserve Bank to raise rates within the next couple of months, really. What do you think is going to be the impact on consumer and business behaviour when that rate rise cycle starts?
I don't necessarily believe that the Reserve Bank's going to raise rates in the next 2 months.
Not next 2 months, but in the first half of next year.
Again, I'm not so sure whether the Reserve Bank would do that. But I think that if you look around the world, quantitative easing is starting to slow, and central bankers are talking about raising rates. I don't think we can sit back here and actually really think that historically low cash rate is here forever. And in our own mind, and businesses' mind, and consumers' mind, you need to plan for the eventuality that rates will rise. I think from our perspective at BOQ, we're well prepared for that, and our customers are well prepared for that.
When do you think the RBA will move then, if you don't believe it will be the first half of next year? Because there's a lot of economists who believe it will be the first half of next year.
Elise, I have a terrible track record on picking exchange rate movements and when official rates will move. I'm sure the RBA will weigh a number of factors in that rate decision. It's probably about where the currency is, what other central banks are doing, and what activity levels you're certainly seeing in the Australian economy. And I have every faith that the RBA will make the right decision at the right time on rates.
When they go up by 25 basis points, do you think it will be well and truly all passed on to consumers? Is competition tough enough that banks will be trying to undercut each other on that?
I have no idea about what other banks would or wouldn't do, and I would not make any comment about what we may or may not do. But what I will say at the moment is that there is intense competition at the moment in the home loan mortgage market, particularly for the lower LVR P&I loans.
John Sutton, thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you very much, Elise.
The share market staged a late rally. The ASX 200 closed 0.4% higher. The takeover of local hotel giant Mantra by the French-owned Accor Group is one step closer after the board of Mantra today agreed to the $1.2 billion offer. It now has to go through regulatory approval. The Australian dollar is building on earlier gains. A short time ago, it was buying 78.2 US cents. And that's all for Business PM. I'm Elise Morgan. Good night.